everyone, and welcome to Real Estate Right Now. My name is Jay Dizzo, and we are live from Linda Graff Dean Studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina, part of the Greater Research Triangle Park. You know, we have to talk about the real estate market. Let's just get real about the real estate market, not just from a realtor perspective. Let's talk about it from a mortgage perspective. You probably, like many other people around the country, are thinking, you know, this interest rate thing, I'm not sure what I should do. Should I get in the market now? Should I get in the market later? How do I, you know, what should I do? How, you know, what's going on with the mortgages, right? Well, today's guest, who has been on the show before, and he's always welcome back. His name is Michael Martin. He owns Martin Mortgage Group, which is part of Fairway Mortgage. And Michael, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here, Jay. Yeah. Appreciate the invitation.
So let's talk about what's really happening in the real estate market, because you have done some research comparing last year's quarter, this year's quarter. So I'm not sure, maybe we should start off with what's happening in our quarter for the first 3 months, which you're seeing on the mortgage side.
Yeah, before that, like, important to know, I've been doing this for 21 years, so I've seen a lot of different quarters over this time, right? Through the recessions and all right. These crazy things. So we were just talking earlier about what's happened. Let's go back to first quarter of 2022.
Okay.
Right. So first quarter 22 rates were still really, really low in the threes. And at that point, you know, buyers were still hot and heavy hitting the market strong, still really high due diligence, you know, here in North Carolina with the high due diligence amounts, well over offer. Things were rolling along just like they were in the second half of 2020 and all of 2021. Mm. Interest rates started to creep up, right? Inflation, the Fed started chilling out with the lowering, you know, are actually starting to increase in March of last year, the Fed funds rate, trying to attack inflation. So things in Q2 started to slow down a little bit, but we were still hanging on there pretty good. By Q3, so really June of 2022, we started to see interest rates start to really peak. So we went from the threes to the fours. Now we're in the fives, and we started to creep into the sixes. And that started scaring buyers, right? Because, you know, Jay, when these buyers started their home search, whether it was in the year before because they struggled because there's so little inventory, or even the beginning part of the year, when they're looking at an interest rate of 3.5% or 4% even, all of a sudden that payment goes up by $400, $500, $600, $700
right,
when that mortgage is now, you know, at that point in time, 6.5%, 7%.
Right.
And so it definitely cooled the market down, right? So Q3 of last year, buyers kind of took a pause. Now, from a lender's perspective, we had some really tough competition last year. I mean, there's always lots of tough competition in the mortgage business, no matter what. Somebody always wanting to eat your lunch, for sure. But the reality is, as mortgage lenders, direct lenders, or you know, companies like Fairway, there's a lot of other companies, Loan Depot, some other larger companies like us, Cross Country, a bunch of those guys. We sell our loans to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Ginnie Mae. So sure, we sell these loans directly so they can get packaged up as bonds. And so we've got to meet the guidelines of these rules, and we've got to sell to what prices they want to buy, right? So, but banks and credit unions have a little bit different story. So we really got our butt kicked in the third quarter and, and part of the fourth quarter, where credit unions were just had much better options for a short period of time because they weren't selling these loans, right? They just had their deposit money that they're paying a very small amount. So the cost of money was way less. Banks could do it because they also had that, but they could hold the loan and then sell it later, right?
Right, right.
Because they could still sell those to Fannie or Freddie when they wanted to down the road. Now, there's a lot more complexity to that. But the point is, we were really, really having a tough time. We were able to get through. Q4 was for sure the roughest of the quarters last year. And as we were heading into the holidays, it really felt like, you know, at that point, people were, they wanted to buy right earlier that year, maybe in the spring, maybe the year before. And so this pent up demand started occurring. Rates started to trend downward towards the end of last year. Mm-hmm. Looked like inflation was really, you know, improving. In fact, it has. Mm-hmm. And that caused interest rates to get a little bit better as we're heading in. Man, Q1 of this year, literally, you know, we had the holiday. It was kind of weird this year, if you remember. So really the first work day was the third of January, and it was like a light switch went on. And that's happened the last 2 years in a row, but we were a little unsure whether it happened because how slow it had become. Mm-hmm. But man, it really opened up and got crazy first couple of days, really in January, and then stayed really busy. Our leads doubled, our referrals doubled in January from what they were in December. So naturally, that was a good sign. We're very optimistic. Things right. started going well. We had the worst closing month, frankly, we've had in, I can't remember how long. I'd like to say 10 years, but I don't even know.
Right.
And so in January, but leads were way up, started getting a lot of contracts, had a good February, I should say, and had a great March. It's already, we've seen things slow down a little bit though. And we're a little concerned, right? Because it's spring market, right?
Right.
When things generally pop, rates yep. are lower now than they were a month ago, 2 months ago. And so we're headed towards the sixes ish, you know, give or take you know, a little bit based on what type of loan program and credit scores and down payment, all that stuff. And so we do believe inflation is going to continue to get better. But where I think one of the things that I wanted to talk about with you is really just in this market, what's everybody experiencing? And I have a lot of conversations with a lot of real estate agents. We get contracts in, we're looking at them. Most of the folks that we're seeing go under contract are still competing, or they've gotten somebody to accept a full price or better than full price offer right away. We just got one this weekend. Talked to one of your agents on a condo downtown, and you know, we went aggressive, but not too aggressive. Fortunately, the listing agent had another offer, but when it took ours, we're closing in 30 days. You know, it's simple deal. But I think, you know, if you're going to get in this market right now, or if you're shopping for a home, this is something we all really feel is coming. You and I were just talking about a guy named Barry Habib, and we follow Barry really closely. I literally see a video or get a report with him every morning, kind of sharing what he thinks is happening. Interest rates move for one main reason, and that is inflation. And so if inflation data continues to improve, you're going to see interest rates come down. What happened the last time interest rates came down significantly?
Well, we had really low interest rates, right?
Yeah, we had low interest
rates. I mean,
but we had buyers come out of the woodwork.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
So as interest rates lower, buyers come out of the woodwork. So if you want to buy a home right now, if you're either renting or you're living with family, if you own a home, it's a little bit different scenario. But if you want to buy a home right now and you do not own one, waiting for 3 months, 6 months, I had a consult yesterday with a client. He's like, I'm thinking about waiting a couple, 2 or 3 months, and he's got the cash to do it now, but he said he could save a little bit more. I'm like, but you realize if here's what we're going to do, if you can get under contract in the next month or so, if you wait 3 months and rates drop a half point and we're all of a sudden in the mid fives or something like that,
yeah,
you're going to have so much more competition
right.
as a buyer. And that means it's so much harder to compete when you go to make an offer and there's 10 offers versus right. one or two. You're talking about $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 or more due diligence, right? I mean, I still see $50,000 due diligence now.
Right.
When rates get down further, we're going to be back to those, you know, pandemic-ish level.
Right.
We had crazy, due diligence and way over list. If you can find a property now that you can negotiate on, it's the perfect opportunity. You can refinance the darn thing, you know, when rates drop as we expect.
Right.
You know, 9 months, year from now. We stay very engaged. I'm sure most lenders out there stay very engaged with our past clients so that we can have that refinance opportunity when it comes to save them a lot of money.
So here's the thing. So interest rates right now, as of today, are about what?
In the low sixes, I would tell you.
Yeah. Okay. So it's come down from 7.25.
Yeah, they were at one point, 7.5.
Right. Well, here's the thing that I've said over and over on the show is when I first got into real estate back in the late 90s, right? We thought 7.5 to 7.75 was pretty darn good.
Phenomenal.
Was a great interest rate because we just come out of the 80s. Where we saw as much as 18%. Mm-hmm. When Linda first started in 1985, I think she said she had sold a house at 18%.
Sure.
Right? 16-18%. And then when it got down to 7.5, 7.75, people were like, oh my gosh, it's free money. Mm-hmm. And then we got down to, you know, later, of course, you know, 20 some odd years later, we got down to like 3%.
It's all about what have you done for me lately.
Right? It really
at the
is.
End of the day, it's so fresh. The further we get away from those 3.5%,
right?
The more people are going to, I wouldn't say forget about it, but they just realize that's not what's reality. Now, The people who aren't going to forget about it are the people that are in the mortgages right now right. at 2.25%, 3%,
right.
you know, whether it's 15-year or 30-year. Those folks are very thrilled. You know, I bought a house in 2020, and we certainly, you know, we got a great low rate of 3%. And the chances of me, you know, moving from there or refinancing are probably not great, right? But
well, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Right? Because we have such a low inventory right now, and which, by the way, plays into what you just said about, mm-hmm. you know, you wait longer, we're going to get more and more people who are going to start bidding and going over because we don't have an inventory because people who have a mortgage at 3% have no reason to leave.
Well, they may or may not, right? So it depends okay. on their reason. There are certain people that are going to downsize, right? Maybe they got a rate of 3%, but they're still going to have a need to downsize. They don't need to have this big house. Their kids are going off to college now. There are a lot of people that bought homes in a big hurry in 2020, 21, and 22
right.
that are like, I don't really even love this house. Like, I bought it because I needed to get a home, but it doesn't have this or doesn't have this. I don't like my neighbors or the schools aren't as great. There's a lot of different reasons why people will finally go, okay, I know this rate's great, but I do need actually to change homes, right? And there's a lot of people that have been in that home. We're talking about the people that bought the homes, but a lot of those people have been in those homes for 10 years, just refinanced to a lower rate. They got to take advantage of that lower money for the period of time they've got it. They still have a reason. You know, people go into retirement homes. They're going to sell right. that house. Unfortunately, people will pass away.
Right.
That house will come on the market at some point. There are people, again, that transfer jobs. They're moving to a different state or a different part of our local area. There's always a need. And it is surprising sometimes right now when I talk to clients that we did loans in 2020, 2021, that are like, hey, Michael, I know we just did a loan, but I hate to get rid of this great rate. But we really need to move for X, you know, whatever reason.
Is. Yeah.
So there's life changing events. They have kids, need more space, right?
But I think what's mind boggling is seeing how low the inventory is, and then to know that people are going to buy or they're going to, you know, they're going to have to move, you know, for whatever their reasons are. Maybe it's because they got to downsize or moving somewhere else. It's just amazing to me that we've just got such a hard time with housing right now. And there was a time, you know, way back where they had a housing shortage mm-hmm. back. I think it was like in the 40s or 50s or something like that, where they had a housing shortage. And we're kind of reliving that right now where there's a housing shortage because in our area, according to we had a guy on who does the TAR report. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, I said, you know, everybody talks about, you know, how many people move into our area? Is it like 139 people a day or whatever it is?
Something, yeah.
Right. And here's what his response was to me. He said, here's what I want to tell you. I don't know what that exact number is, but I will tell you this. More people are moving in than are moving out.
That's for sure.
And more people
are moving in than they're building.
And it's significant. Right. And he said it's a significant number.
Stacy Ampinson, who you're talking about.
Yes, thank you. I was trying to think of Stacy's name and I couldn't get it out of my head. So then I start thinking about your position as a mortgage lender and you're going, cause you're fighting a number of things cause you're fighting the Fed. Mm-hmm. You're fighting what we have available. And then you're also finding people who are sitting on the fence who are going, I don't know that I'm ready to commit yet. And yet we're trying to tell people basically, listen, waiting is probably not your best idea right now. And yet because people are just so reluctant just because they see a number, because they see a six mm-hmm. being used to a three.
Yeah.
What do you tell them?
So I think it's important to know, right? You got to remember the consumer doesn't want to be sold. They want to buy, right?
Right.
And so a realtor's job is to sell a house so they can get paid.
Right.
Right. A lender's job is to do a loan so we can get paid.
Right.
And I think a lot of times these consumers truly believe that we're just trying to sell them something so that we can get paid.
Right.
And so while I do not believe it makes sense in most cases long-term, like to renew a lease today, mm-hmm. right? Wait for another year. I think you're going to pay a lot more than you are, especially in the increase in rent costs or whatever,
right.
a year from now than you will today. I think it's going to cost you dramatically more.
Right.
I also think that it may make sense to wait 2 or 3 months to find the right property for you, right? Because we have such limited inventory. Mm. You don't want to buy just a buy. Like, it just doesn't make sense, right? So
right.
You shelter.
Right.
So you've really got to find, but I think you can't be as picky as that, you know, a lot of times people were previously. Like, you know, finding, if you have 10 boxes that need to be checked, maybe 6 of those get checked, right?
Finding the perfect home is not a reality.
Yeah. Which actually really brings me into another thing we were going to talk about, which is a really underutilized product in the mortgage space right now is renovation financing, right? So one of the really things, we're actually doing a lunch and learn on the 26th at my office.
Tell them where your office is located.
So my office is on Six Forks Road, just up the street from here on 7721 Six Forks. We're going to be doing lunch and learn on that Wednesday, the 26th, about renovation financing. Now, most realtors, when you hear the term renovation, they think 2 or 3K. It's a term that people, and they think nightmare because they've either gone through that experience themselves with a lender, or they've heard somebody in their office talking about it. And the reality is you just have to work with a lender that knows how to do renovation financing. It's not the end of the world, but it is a little bit tricky. Mm. And like everything in real estate or sales, right, you've just got to be able to set proper expectations. And if you can set proper expectations with a client on timing, on really what to expect throughout the whole process, man, this product is one of the best products for this type of market. Because, you know, you find that house that's got perfect location, but it's, you know, I always use the example, it's got, you know, grandma shag carpet in there, right? It's got Formica countertops. It could be a great house. It's just, and it is a great house.
Architecturally just, obsolescent.
That's right. Well, usually it's not the architecture so much. It's just the, everything else needs to be updated, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, cause you can't.
Just outdated. Yeah.
Now you could change the architecture with one of these types of loans. Like you could literally all but tear it down. You have to keep 25% of the foundation. Most people don't go that far, right? But you could buy a $300,000 house, right? Put $30,000 to $50,000 in renovation costs on carpet, paint, maybe you know, new countertops.
Take out a wall.
Yep. Maybe move it, open it up a little bit. That's right. Yeah. And all of a sudden, now you got $350,000 in this house, but it's worth more than that because it's now become a much more modern style home. And so people generally don't think that way. They don't have the vision, right? So they really, it's the salesperson, the agent, the real estate agent, and the lender that have to have the vision to share with that client. Hey, listen, I know you're seeing this house, but we could make this house so much more customized to you. And then this is as little as 3 to 6 months, right? You could have this thing and just blow everybody away, your friends and family.
So a renovation loan, like, cause you did say it was a little tricky, right? So You buy the house, is it's a second loan then, right?
No, good question. So the way a renovation loan works is, and this is real important. So let's say we're going to purchase $300,000 home, and that might be tough in this market, but let's just use that number.
Sure.
Okay. And let's say they're going to put $50,000 on renovation. So what we do is we, and this is the important part of setting the expectations. So what we'll do is you have to get plans and specs, right? For the work that's going to get done before we can order the appraisal. So generally I'm going to ask for 45 to 60 days on a close where we close loans in 2 weeks all the time.
Right.
We actually just closed one of these in 19 days, but it was just everything worked out perfectly.
Right.
The biggest challenge is you find a property you like, you know, most people feel like you need to move forward quickly on the offer stage. Well, you generally don't have time to get plans and specs. Right. Estimates, really.
Right.
I don't mean plan so much, but estimates for the work that's going to be done by the contractor that's going to do it. You can utilize any contractor you want. Now, we do have to vet the contractor, right?
Sure.
Just to make sure that we've got somebody that knows what they're doing.
Right.
And if it requires, if the type of work requires, someone with a license, for example, plumbing or electric or anything structural, then we recommend you get a GC to manage that. And we're happy to refer folks that we've worked with in the past, or you can go find your own. We've got a list of folks that are approved already in our area. And so once you get the bid for the work that you're going to be doing, so again, 50 grand, whatever we're talked about, then we will order the appraisal. And the appraisal is going to be done as if all that work's complete, right? So they're going to appraise that house probably well above the 350 number, right? Because if that house was had all this stuff in it today, it'd probably sell for more than 350.
Right, right.
And so you got to make sure you don't, you know, put lipstick on a pig, right? You can't be too much to
right.
You know, make the house worth, you know, less than what you're going to be putting into it. And so you could put as little as 3% of that total number down for your down payment plus your closing costs. So it's not necessarily, it doesn't require a ton of cash out of the client's pocket. Now, although I love the renovation loan, if somebody has 150 grand to put down and we're only doing $50,000 of work, I tell them, hey, listen, put 5 or 10% down on the property as long as it's financeable, right? Some properties aren't financeable.
Sure.
But most of them are. They just want to update them. And so what would keep, you know, a property from finance will be some sort of safety, you know, or hazardous type of issue. You know, you think when you walk through a home, if you notice any major problems, then it may not be financeable. Mainly because it's just not marketable, right, to a traditional buyer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if there's holes in the wall, if there's, you know, holes in the floor, right, those are certainly red flags. We don't see a whole lot of that these days.
Right.
Back in 2010, 11, yeah. 12, you know, a majority of the market had deferred maintenance, right? So foreclosures right. and short sales. So they couldn't get regular financing, which is when I became a renovation expert because I right. knew I had to find loans to be able to close. And these, right. we had tons of that stuff on the market. So we close on the loan up front after we do the appraisal. And, you know, as far as qualifying, by the way, it's the same as qualifying for a conventional loan. If you're doing a conventional, we actually have a VA option. We've got that we'll do up to $50,000 in renovation work up to on a VA. There's a USDA option now, also for $50,000. We don't see a lot of those either, but it's not available. There's, of course, FHA, and then there's, you know, conventional, which would be Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac.
So then in order for me to do this, I just want to just do the play-by-play for the people who are watching. If you wanted to do this, right, I'm going to need, I look at the house and I've got to have a little bit of imagination and creativity and go, you know what? This house would be so much better if they would have done this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring in, you know, get some experts who are going to give me an estimate on how much this is going to cost.
Yep.
And then I'm going to submit that to you. If it requires a general contractor, I should have that ready to go too. And then I'm going to submit this with the price of the home. And I'm going to say, hey, listen, you know what? I can, for another 50 grand, I can, this house can be so much better.
Yeah.
How does that appraisal work?
So they're literally appraising it as if all that. So the appraiser is going to find comparables that are updated. Now, if those don't exist, right? If you're
right.
going into a horrible neighborhood and those right. comps just don't happen, it's going to be tough for the appraiser to make that happen. Usually that's not the case. I mean, you think about it. Let's just pick a neighborhood nearby, North Hills.
Right.
So now the prices in North Hills are now have gotten to the point where you might be out of the range of doing this type of loan because you right. might need a jumbo loan. But
right.
let's go back. And there's still a lot of neighborhoods around, but that's the one I just think about because it's happened so much too. So, you know, if you're buying a property and there's some updated homes around the neighborhood, but this is just one that hasn't been updated. You know, it literally grandma's been in the house for 30, 40, 50
right,
years.
Right, right, right.
So she didn't need to make any of those changes. So the appraiser is going to go back, going to go look at the other homes in the neighborhood that have been updated, use those as comparables. Mm. That makes sense.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I get it. So now can you do a renovation loan post purchase?
You can. So if you live in a house right now, you bought it 2 years ago. Again, perfect example would be you bought a house in the pandemic and you know, you didn't think you needed it at all, or maybe you bought one before the pandemic. All of a sudden you need an office, right? A home office, and you want to put an addition. You can absolutely do a refinance of that loan into a renovation loan now. So we do this for people that live in their homes now. You could put a pool in.
Mm. Now, okay. Does the interest rate change?
Good question. The interest rates are slightly higher on a renovation loan than a traditional, very little difference. You know, the reality is we think most people that are doing loans right now, we're really probably now until rates drop into the fours, which whether that's later this year or next year, we think that will happen. And if that, you know, we think the loans that people are doing right now, they're going to end up refinancing anyway.
Sure.
So even if you have a little bit higher rate, by an eighth or a quarter of a point now, you're going to end up refinancing it at some point in the near future anyway, to get back to a, you know, whatever the rates are at that point.
So post renovation though, meaning they purchased the house and they do it later, you can refinance that too then.
You mean after they do the renovation or to do the renovation?
To do. So I bought the house 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take out a renovation loan, mm-hmm. right? At a certain percentage rate. Now the interest rates have changed.
Yeah. So when you do the renovation loan, that is a refinance in itself, right?
Okay.
Because you're paying off the existing.
I got you.
That is it. But rates drop two more years from now. You can always refinance that.
So again. It's rolled into the mortgage. You redid it anyway. And so.
Yeah. Important to know the renovation piece of it is not, it's not a separate lien. We're paying off the first
mortgage.
That's correct.
And so we're rolling it all together. That's okay. Correct. All right.
Now, some people, what they may do is get an equity line, right?
Right.
Let's say you bought a house. It's appreciated a couple hundred grand. You want to do $100,000 worth of updates, but you don't have the cash to do it. You could go get a $200,000 equity line, pull out $100,000 to do what you want to do, and then eventually refinance that, right, a year or so from now.
I got you.
A smaller project, you wouldn't want to pay off a $500,000 rent or existing loan at 3% to renovate your current home with another $100,000 and increase the whole rates up to 6.5 or 7.
Right.
That would be, it wouldn't make sense financially.
Right.
So we're not seeing a ton of those people that bought homes in 2020, 2021 refinance because they already have great low interest rates.
Got it.
But there's still, it's a loan that can make what you want done as long as you realize what you're doing and that fits your budget.
That's perfect. So we're towards the end of our time. I know it's gone really fast. It always does when we're together. I know you've got a couple other things that people can go to. I would love for you to share.
Sure. Thanks. I appreciate Jay. So we've got a couple events. One of the things that we have to do as mortgage loan officers, in the area to separate ourselves from everybody else. I mean, frankly, our area has got a lot of great loan officers in the area. There's been a lot of folks, that have been around for years and years and years like I am. Or I have. And so you've got great choices. But what we try to do really is add value to our partners. And so we want to bring information to help you sell more homes. We constantly have to reinvent ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got a couple events coming up next Thursday. We're bringing on a guy named Dave Stevens. I think I mentioned it earlier. Dave has an incredible background. He's worked for the Department of Housing and Urban Development. He's worked, he's been the president of the Mortgage Bankers Association. Right. He ran, I think, the Long and Foster companies out of Northern Virginia for years. And so Dave has a wealth of information. He's basically like an economist, but he's not an economist. He doesn't sound or talk like an economist. He talks like a real person. So you and I can understand him.
And that's Thursday.
That's Thursday.
At what time?
I believe it's at 2 p.m. for an hour.
Okay.
So
that's Thursday the 13th.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's a way we have a link that we can put in.
Yeah, we'll put a link.
Okay.
We'll
so you can sign up that way. I will tell you, if you're a real estate agent, and if you're not, if you're a mortgage lender or any professional in the housing world here in the Triangle or anywhere else, this will be well worth your time.
And it's free.
Yeah, it's absolutely free. You just register and then go and attend it. Dave has done a great job. He's really helps, especially for real estate agents, helps bring some data that you can actually share with your clients so they can say, why now, right?
Right.
Versus waiting for later. Then we've got Barry Habib, who we talked about a little bit earlier too. Barry's actually coming to us. We just found out today that he's going to be coming on the 25th. I don't have the time. Actually, I do, if I can look it up
sure.
quickly.
Yeah, we'll let you do that. We'll let you.
That's going to be
on. And he's great, by the way.
Yeah, you know he's been on your show.
Yeah, he's been on my show a couple times.
Twice,
yeah.
You said.
Yeah, he's great.
So I just met him a couple weeks ago at an event we had at Fairway. He's going to be on the 25th at 1:30. That'll also be via Zoom. Again, Barry, I've had several real estate agents tell me the last couple events that they've been on, it was seriously the best information they've learned about the real estate market and mortgage market since they've been in real estate. So I would highly recommend be on that. There will always be some great information.
So both of those are Zoom.
Both of those are Zoom. And then I have one live event in my office, which is the renovation
event.
Lunch and Learn. That's going to be on the 26th from 11 to 1.
Perfect. You know what? We've done it. Tell people how they get a hold of you.
Yeah. Reach out to me anytime. If you have any questions, I'm sure we'll put my contact information. Yep. My phone number is 919-612-9978. My website has a ton of information there too. That's yournclender.com. Mm. And then of course, my email is michael.martin@fairwaymc.com. So thank you so much for having me.
Yeah,
I always enjoy coming on your show.
You're great, man.
Appreciate it.
The information was awesome. Thank you for being on. Folks, that's the show. You know what I say to you every week, and that is this. You know what? You had a lot of choices. You chose us. We thank you here at Real Estate Right Now. If you are listening to this by podcast. And by the way, I should mention that now we're on international TV on DBTV on Saturdays at 8:30 a.m. So that's cable companies around the world, Roku, Amazon Fire, and a number of other ways. So check us out on DBTV because the show is really available for you and you can watch all the past shows as well. Listen, give us a positive review wherever you listen to this show. We thank you so much, as I say to you everywhere, all over the world. You know what that is? Ciao. Every.
Yeah, I want everything. It ain't worth living.